Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, brought to you by our good friends over at Band of Coders. I'm your producer, Kevin Finn, and today we have our favorite guest host in the studio. We have Jay Farrow, and he's here for our GCLA special. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Kevin, good to be here, buddy. Thanks for having me. How you been?
No problem. You give me a day off. I get to see you host, and you do a better job than I do.
Oh, so you're ridiculous. That's really, I mean, so watch the ratings plummet as Jay weaves his magic. But no, it's always great to be here. You guys do top shelf. Today's episode is actually very special. We have a good friend of mine and a terrific CIO in the studio. And as you know, we like to highlight Atlanta's technology leaders here on the show. Mm-hmm. Talk about what's going on in their world, talk about the challenges that they're facing, talk about the role of the CIO and how they handle, all the various things that we hear about in the technology marketplace. So I'm very excited. Lee Crump, Group Vice President and CIO of Rollins, is here. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jay. Glad to be here.
Thanks. So, Lee, tell us a little bit about Rollins. I think we all know the logo. It's, of course, an institution here in Atlanta. And so tell us about Rollins. You know, give us kind of the 50,000-foot view and maybe a little bit about the IT organization and what you do to support Rollins.
Well, most people, when they think of Rollins, the first question I always get asked is, oh, the alarm company. And I say no. And then their second guess is the truck leasing company. And I have to say no to that as well. Those were all part of the family of businesses, but those were all spun off in the late 90s. We are 100% pest control. We're a holding company. And our best-known brand is Orkin, mm-hmm. and everybody has heard of the Orkin Pest Control. I'm an Orkin man. So, but we do about $1.4 billion this year in pest control business.
Wow.
We have 500 branches around the country. We're in company-owned branches in Canada, and we just announced a couple of months ago two major acquisitions in Australia. So,
Now, do you have to go there? Do you get a chance to go to Australia?
We'll be there at some point.
Darn.
I'm delaying it as long as possible. That's a long
trip. It is a long trip, but if you're willing to take one for the team and go out there for a while, especially during the summer there and the winter here.
I have never been there. I'm looking forward to seeing.
Well, congratulations on those. So what obviously a huge organization, mm-hmm. With a great legacy. What does IT do to support, those various businesses, including Orkin?
Well, right now we are only responsible for the domestic operations. Mm-hmm. The foreign countries, other than Australia and Canada, are all franchised operations, and we provide assistance and guidance and leverage buying power, but they really run their own show. In Australia and Canada, they have their separate brands. They're run as such. The CIOs there have a dotted line to me, but mm-hmm. again, I function more in a consulting capacity. So we really do all of the systems for the Orkin brand and the Rollins home office. We have about 150 IT professionals in our group, and we've got some really neat things going on. Mobility, critically important to us, and that's, we've got 6,000 of our 10,000 employees are service technicians, another 1,000 to 1,500 are salespeople. And, at the end of the day, they're the only people that make money for the company. So it's funny, when I got there, all of the system functionality was totally around, the home office, and I think a lot of people see this, the finance functions, the administrative functions,
sure,
at the branches. And at the end of the day, none of those people make money. It's and they don't touch the customer. And if you look at what you can do today in terms of increasing customer service levels and the wow factor, and I know that when we think about state-of-the-art technology, the first thing that pops into everybody's mind is pest control.
Of course, yeah. Bleeding edge, right?
Yeah, bleeding edge.
Just like the nonprofit space. That's yeah. Man, I'll tell you what. Woo, look at my hair. I'm blowing back 100 miles an hour. Yeah.
So this is, this is one of the ways that we want to differentiate ourselves with our customers. is by being able to provide a real wow factor both on the sales side and the service side.
The a highly mobile workforce. I mean, you have, you know, your technicians are out there, makes up a majority of your workforce. You have all these sales folks out there, and they're interfacing with the customer. What are the key initiatives to give them? What are the key applications or capabilities that you're trying to give them? What were your big priorities first?
Well, we had a couple. I guess our most major initiative is we are replacing a 13-year-old internally developed custom branch operating system with a much more current system. We're starting from a package. We're modifying it to make sure we add the things that make us who we are and unique, the differentiators, if you will. So that, though, is one of those efforts that takes 2 or 3 years. And I learned very early in my career, there's a lot of enthusiasm for major IT projects the first week or two.
And then the reality hits in, right?
And seriously, yeah. About 6 months into it, I don't care how good a job you do of reminding everybody why we're doing this, people get bored very quickly with a system that's not coming for a year or two. So we really looked for some innovative things we could do that would segue in the future into the new system we were building, but would provide some neat stuff in the meantime. So our marketing group, our CMO, who's very IT savvy and a very sharp guy, in fact, he is going to be on the panel at our next
GCLA meeting, exciting.
Kevin Smith.
And a hot topic, right? The relationship between the CMO and the CIO, too.
Right. Yeah. So I'm paying it forward, and I'm going to say some nice things about it.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
But Kevin put together, he worked with a local firm and developed an iPad application to assist initially our termite salespeople and then secondarily our commercial salespeople the following year. And what used to be done with tent cards, we now, all of our salespeople carry iPads. And some of the neat wow factors, when they drive up to the house, they take a picture of the house, and the first screen that the customer sees during the presentation is a picture of their home. And on the mailbox, it has their name, and there's a little yard sign with their name and their address because the salesperson has keyed that in. And we are not the least expensive pest control company. In fact, I think I'm proud to say we probably cost more than anybody else because of the value we add. But it's kind of hard to show that value and the reason you're priced a little bit higher than the competition if you're using the exact same tools they are. So we're the only ones showing up with an iPad and an iPad app and really taking pictures as we do the inspection in a crawl space or an attic. This is kind of neat stuff for a customer. They're seeing not a generic picture of a damp crawl space. They're seeing their damp crawl space.
And to them, that personalization probably implies obviously a high level of service, customer service, and dedication by the company. And translates into renewals, referrals, and all of those kinds of things, right?
It does. And as a result of doing that, Kevin's group, I think the first year that they put it in place, increased sales by 20%. Oh, now, that's a value add to the company. It really is.
Well, that's got to make IT people feel good, too, though, that you and your team had a huge role to play in that.
Well, on the marketing side, actually, marketing drove that. We provided consulting assistance focused on the things we needed to focus on, which was the service side.
Sure.
So while they were doing that, we've developed an iPhone app for our technicians, and our technicians now all carry iPhones that have all the information needed to do their services for the day. They can, what used to be a paper ticket now is done online. It's emailed to the customer.
That's awesome.
And it's an incredible savings. Plus, now we have real-time data during the day. Before, they would do a paper ticket. They would come back the following morning to the branch. They'd turn them in and have a check-in. The administrative people would key those tickets in the following day. And usually within about 48 hours, you knew how much production you had done. You knew which services were closed or open. Now it's real time. And a service manager or branch manager can actually follow along online as any one of the technicians and see exactly where they've been because they've already posted the production. So That's one that we're very proud of, and it's been a real home run. First of all, the technicians love having an iPhone.
So you get street cred.
Yes.
By providing an iPhone, and they feel like they're current because, let's be honest, I mean, used to be IT gave you the coolest tools back earlier in our career, and now the coolest tools are consumered, right?
That's correct.
And now you're catching up. You're there providing consumer-grade, consumer-grade technology, but in a good way.
The old story that we used to in IT, we'd have to run after them and run them down with our new tools saying, this is really going to help you. And they're saying, no, it's not. And in most cases, they were right. Everything we delivered took them more time. Yes, it was beneficial to the company to have all that information, but we didn't help them be more productive, and this tool really helps them. So
yeah, and it's all about, you know, making them more. We do the same thing where we're trying to, you know, whether it's BOIOD or making things platform agnostic, you know, our secret sauce is not burdening our fundraisers or our community managers with 9 logins and VPNing and old fat clients and all of these other things. Mm. It's getting them in front of our volunteers. It's getting our volunteers in front of donors. It's getting, you know, running fundraisers. It's working with hospital networks and all of our other partner relationships, not wrestling with their computer.
Yeah, and it's even tougher for you because you are dealing with so many volunteers. I'm at least paying them to be miserable. We're being compared today, not to the last system we delivered. We're being compared to everything that I think one of the speakers this morning used the analogy that, you know, any one of my employees can walk into the Apple store and an hour later walk out with a smartphone that works. They've got their sign on. And he threw the challenge to the crowd. How long does it take you to get one of your employees an iPhone? And boy, does that make it sink in that
it sure does.
We are not all that easy to do business with. And it's not our fault. I mean, we've got SOX compliance. We've got management controls and all these things. But it really makes you think, is that if a stranger can walk into an iPhone store and come out with an iPhone in an hour, why does it take us 5 days?
To procure and onboard someone and give them access to 5 different systems. No, I agree with you. So it sounds like you have a good relationship with marketing. You and your CMO are obviously going to be on stage together. Mm-hmm. Or, at least he's going to play, you know. So tell me about how that evolved. I mean, was that always the case? What are some things that you did in order to ensure that relationship is as strong as it is?
Well, I will tell you right from the start, I genuinely like him as a person.
Yeah.
And I don't need to tell you, that makes it so much easier because it's tough when you don't like somebody. You got to really work extra hard. But I really like Kevin. I like how he thinks. He's strategic. He really not only wants to use technology to improve how we go to market, but he's not just about the marketing and the sales. He's about the service level, and he recognizes that the better a job we do of retaining our existing customers, that takes a lot of pressure off him having to fill the funnel with new ones coming in. So he's as much focused on customer service as he is on the sales side. But he's strategic. He gets it. We just have, I think, a great working relationship. We take his team and our team offsite quarterly.
Oh, wow.
For a one-day offsite meeting where we strategize. We put stuff against the wall. And we talk about and keep each other posted on what we're working on because he owns the digital side, and we work very closely together on that. But we just want to make sure that we're not wasting the company's money by both of us, you know, heading down the same path, going a different direction. So we work very closely together.
That's very, very cool. And I know it's a big challenge in many organizations, but it sounds like you guys, have a terrific working relationship. You touched on something, you know, the digital. We hear now the rise of the CDO, the Chief Digital Officer, and all these other things. And that leads me to my next question. What do you see as the major changes? What are the major changes to the CIO role? Obviously, the CIO looks very different today than he or she perhaps looked 10, 15 years ago.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's very different. We're expected to be, and rightly so, you know, businessmen and women, technologists, strategists, you know, masters of business process, arbitrators, conveners, and all of these other things. And, I think those are all good signs that the CIO role is getting the respect that it deserves. But what are the major changes that you see that have happened now and coming down the future?
Well, I think the number one major change is that you no longer can be successful if you are just technical or infrastructure oriented. I think you've got to be a business person. You've got to be able to communicate effectively with the other CXO officers. And your job, frankly, is 10 times harder than theirs. And, you know, Martha Heller in her book, The CIO Paradigm, talks about the fact that, you know, all the things that are expected of a CIO today versus, you know, the CMO, and how would they like to be expected to innovate entirely new marketing programs, but oh, by the way, you have to keep all of your old programs running and you can't have any more budget money, because isn't that the equivalent of build me new systems but keep the old ones running while you do?
And keep your budget flat.
And we're expected to innovate. And, you know, the chief finance officer, no offense to my finance CFO brethren, but let's be honest, they're still doing things the way they did in 15th century Venice. And you certainly don't want your CFO being innovative. I mean, the last time they tried that was Enron, and we saw what happened there. So, you know, I think that's the role has changed a lot. I think that mainly because our user expectations have been framed now by other people. And it used to be they were grateful for what we did. They kind of really respected us and admired the fact that, you know, we could do things with a computer. And now today when we when they come to us for something and we tell them it's going to take 6 months and cost $500,000, they say, well, I can buy that on the, you know, from the App Store for $4.99. And it's like, well, okay, yeah, that's because they're selling 5 million of them.
Yeah.
And they only have to deal with a single user, and they don't have SOX compliance.
Yeah, and HIPAA and all these other things that we have to deal with, right, in today's litigious world.
But I think the biggest change also is the fact that we do have to work a lot more closely with marketing, because, you know, in the past we evolved where we just did the financial stuff, then we got involved a lot in the operations stuff, but we really, until the last couple of years in IT, never did anything, mainly because the tools weren't there yet, to really help increase revenue. And I think it's going to be about sales. And you can scoff. Gartner says that, by 2017 or 2018, the CMO's IT budget's going to be bigger than the CIO's IT budget. I don't know if that'll be true. I don't know where the budget money will be. I do know, though, that the bulk of the dollars that are being spent in IT, regardless of who owns the budget, I think we're going to see that exponentially moving to the customer acquisition side.
Oh, I would agree with you. And I think the secret kind of behind that metric or that that Gartner report is, what do you qualify as technology, right? I think are we now going to say, you know, a web property is always has historically been IT? Is that considered technology? Of course it is, but is that considered IT? And so there's some kind of role clarification that always needs to happen. I know at ACS, same thing with you. We get together regularly with our marketing brethren, and, you know, they're not always easy conversations. They're, you know, but at the very beginning, there was a lot of, well, no, we own that. And it was like, look, there's more than enough work to go around. How about we own that? And so we do a lot of knowledge sharing, a lot of swapping of folks on projects, and that has paid big dividends. So this today's CIO, to your point, is expected to be about 25 different things. We can't do it alone. Luckily, here in Atlanta, we have a plethora, of course, nationwide and worldwide today, of potential partners to leverage to get things like speed to market or you know. My sense is, if somebody can do it better, faster, stronger, more securely than I can, I have to at least consider that. You know, at least I have to investigate whether or not I should use them as a potential partner. How do you select which partners Rollins uses?
Well, first of all, I think the key word is partner and not vendor, and I'm glad you used that, because I try to use the word partner, because at the end of the day, as we look at the blurring of more stuff being moved outside or being done with partners versus our internal employees – it better be a partnership, because at the end of the day, my boss isn't going to care whether it was a vendor that fouled it up.
No, his boot's going to be on your rear end and my rear end, not theirs, right?
Yeah, and I think that so the first thing I want to know, and I want to feel good, is there's got to be a trust factor, and that trust factor is that you do your research before you come see me. You find out everything you can about Rollins. You come in and you don't come in. In fact, maybe the first three visits that we have, you're not telling me all about your company and what all the problems you can solve before you even know if that's one of my problems. And if you never ask me what keeps me awake at night, I would love it. That's a when somebody sits across from me and says, "Well, what keeps you awake at night?" That's it. We're probably never going to do business together. I don't know. It's just one of those things that just turns me off. But you know what? I want you to make an investment in me, and there's an awful lot of opportunity for a lot of business together. And I think I'm a good partner from a standpoint of referring you to other people if you've done a good job for me. But you know, I expect you to come in and spend some time here getting to know us and making an investment in us. And I better know that at the end of the day, I can call you anytime, day or night, and you're going to drop everything and make sure that you get the resource together to take good care of me. And I don't ever expect everything to go perfectly. It never will. But one of the things I'm looking for during the courting phases of the relationship is how do they handle things when they go south?
Right.
Because you know what? Relationships, it's kind of like a marriage. Relationships are real easy when everything's going well. It's when you just went through a move that,
like tests, you just did.
Yeah,
right.
Like I just did. That's why it's fresh in my mind. Kelly sent me an email and said, "Well, how'd the move go?" On a scale of 1 to 10, I said, "Well, it's a 9. Nothing major broke, and we didn't kill each other."
So. There you go. We have. I mean, there you go.
And that's the analogy for a good partner.
I agree with you. Well. You know, you hit on all the key points that I agree with you 100%. We look at ours as partnerships. The other thing that I'll add to that is that. We recognize they want to make a little bit of money, and in return, we want value and trust and support and a shared sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. And I have found the best success has been with partners that have taken the time, like you said, to learn about us, but learn our culture and learn how
That's
our people operate. And, and it's primarily staffing vendors more than anything. I mean, certainly it applies all over the place. But saying, like, look, if you're going to look for talent for us, I want you to understand me and my leadership style, my team's leadership style, what we're asking them to do day to day, you know, the type of people that flourish versus the type of people
right.
that flounder in our environment. And we have found when people have taken the time to do that, the quality of the output has been much, much better.
No, you're 100% right.
So obviously you're doing all these successful things. You're partnering with marketing. You got this iPhone app that's obviously doing very, very well. I would expect that the demand for IT services has gone up as well. How do you decide and determine as an organization what gets done?
Well, you're right. I mean, good systems are like drugs. The more you deliver, the more they want. Right? in fact, I remember a time. When the best way to be successful was to never do anything.
Have a couple of failed projects.
Yeah, people stopped asking.
And apathy sets in.
Yeah, apathy set in. They didn't ask. And so it's like, yeah, I'm right on top of my backlog. First of all, I want to be in a partnership with the business where we're not order takers, that we're out there looking and spending time in the field and looking for opportunities to determine where we can provide value and help. But we have an executive steering committee at Rollins, and it's comprised of the vice chairman and his direct reports, as well as the president of Rollins and his direct reports. There are 7 of us, I believe, altogether. And I'm a member of that committee. And this steering committee meets once a month to consider any new requests, and not just IT. We take major company investments, and it's their job to vet the return on investment, look at the risk factors, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very formal process that people go through to get in front of the ESC to make their requests. And that really helps a lot. We don't have an awful lot of people showing up at the door wanting these things. They understand they have to go through this group. They need to stand up and make a presentation to them. And you better have your ducks in a row and be prepared to prove your case. Or until our finance group signs off and vets the return on investment you're claiming you're going to get, you're not even allowed to present.
That's so good.
I mean, and there's a follow-up 6 months after it's done to ensure you are getting what you said
Yes, benefits realization is always the part people miss, isn't it? It's like, well, I promised we were going to get $3 million in additional net new revenue.
Right.
A, where is it? And B, up front, show me how you're going to calculate that and convince me that, A, you're going to get it, and B, you're not just double counting or you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
And too often, I think we as organizations miss that and say, well, yeah, trust me, it's there. You know, it's in there. It's like Prego spaghetti sauce. Of course, it's in there. Okay, well, you know, we talked about, you know, reaching out for help with good partners, and they're invaluable. Other ways to get help, of course, is leaning on your peers. And I know you and I share... We see each other all the time, and we become friends primarily because of many of these organizations. But what are the key organizations you belong to and participate in?
I certainly belong to GCLA, which is the Georgia CIO Leadership Association, TAG, SIM, Society of Information Managers. And those all have value, but I've got to put in a plug for GCLA because it really is a focus of... We're at 100-plus CIO members now, all who are CIOs of businesses generating more than $100 million a year in revenue. So they truly are, we truly are peers of each other. And I just absolutely love the organization from a standpoint of I have made a lot of friends, developed some good relationships, and now I'm in a position where when I'm facing a problem or I have a question or I want to find out, gee, have you gone through this before? You end up with, 8 to 10 people that depending on what problem it is you're facing, you've got any two or three that you feel comfortable either emailing or picking up the phone and calling and saying, hey, how are you guys handling this? Or have you thought about this? Have you ever tried this? And there's a tremendous amount of value in that. And, you know, sometimes... It's not that they can solve your problem. It's that they have the same problem, and now you feel better because you got somebody to commiserate
with. So it's in some ways therapeutic or cathartic.
Yes.
No,
it's like having a therapist.
I agree with you 100%. And you've heard me say a million times, Lee, that in Atlanta we are very blessed and unique. As a city our size, to have the tight-knit IT community that we have is really special. And I would echo everything you just said, so I am not going to add anything to that other than our next event, which is June 12th, next week, which I believe is next Thursday.
Yes.
Kelly's nodding her head. That means I got that correct. It's from 11:30 to 1:30 at the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead, and it's going to feature Dr. Tim Irwin, author of Impact, Great Leadership Changes Everything, which is what he's going to talk about what it takes to be an influential leader who makes an impact while protecting oneself from the pitfalls leaders inevitably face and things that I usually step on in my my journey and all the landmines that I daily step on. Also, Michael Hickens of the Wall Street Journal CIO Journal is moderating a CMO panel filled with several high-profile Georgia companies, including Lee, your colleague we talked so much about today, Kevin Smith from Rollins, Kristen Kelly from Randstad, and Annika Kreider from Mellow Mushroom. Hopefully she brings along some pizzas, maybe some salad, and that that special dressing they have there, and fattens us all up. Probably not, but a man can hope. But they're going to talk a lot about the critical relationship between technology and marketing, because as I think we both know, not everybody has it like you do. I mean, you have a terrific relationship. None are ever perfect, but you have a very good one. Other folks in your role still struggle a little bit with how to tame that relationship. So hopefully, you know, Kevin's going to share some things, Kristen and Annika, and it's going to be, I think, a great, great, great dialogue. To register and attend, anything else you want to add to that, Lee?
I was just going to say that I think one of the reasons that IT people and marketing people have taken so long to get together is we are polar opposites in terms of personalities and what makes us tick. I mean, you know, us IT guys are very linear, very check off the box.
We're binary, aren't we?
We're binary.
It either is or it isn't.
And the marketing people are very blue sky. And I mean, you know, they would not be successful if they weren't the way they are. The same could be said for us. The problem is when you put it together, you get oil and water sometimes.
It absolutely is. That's a very, very good point. And if I had a dime for every time I was criticized with my late wife, but she would be like, you think like a decision tree, she used to say. Everything with you is like an if-then, a series of if-then statements. And I was like, I took that as a compliment.
Yeah, that's why we're successful.
I was like, well, you say that like it's an insult. I take it as a compliment. To register to attend and learn more about our events and, of course, the GCLA, please visit georgiacio.org. And Lee, I want to thank you for being here today and making this such a great show.
Well, it was fun, and let's send out a hello to Curtis, who had emergency eye surgery.
Yeah, you know
I'm
what?
Actually
great.
A substitute here today, and it was fun. I enjoyed being here, but we've got him in our thoughts and prayers.
We sure do. Dr. Kurt Carver was our scheduled guest today, and we wish him a speedy recovery, so a big shout-out to Kurt. Knowing him, he would have tried to wheel himself in here today, and thankfully cooler heads prevailed, and his wife kept him where he needs to be, and we'll see him very, very soon. So thank you for mentioning that, Lee. Mm-hmm. And a shout-out to our very own Kelly Eckstein, who's our silent observer here. She's got headphones on, and she's waving at me. But we couldn't do this without her. She's effectively our COO for all intents and purposes. I got to be honest with you. We pretty much just do what Kelly says. And
like it that way.
We like it that way. It has yet to steer us wrong. So as far as I'm concerned, if she's happy, we're happy. So thank you, Lee, and we'll look forward to hearing more about more from Rollins and from you at some point in the future. I hope you'll join us again.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, and thank you all of you out there who are listening. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Tune in next month for another episode of Atlanta Tech Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.